This morning you are in for a special treat in just a few moments. In 1986, this church called me as a senior in college when I was at Campbell to come and be the first paid youth minister at this church. And I do remember a few of you from those days. There was a lot less of me back then, Amber's over there holding Scarlett, and Amber was in my youth group back during that time. And during that same time, we transitioned and brought new sixth graders up to seventh grade or something like that. And there was this little squirt named Curry that moved into the youth group about the time that I was here as the youth pastor. And this morning, Curry is going to come and share with you just a story that I believe that God just blessed him with the ability to communicate and to write and speak. And I heard this testimony read by another pastor when his father passed away. And I told Curry shortly thereafter, I want you to share this in our church sometime in a worship service. And so I asked him if he'd be willing to share. And so Curry Howell's going to come. And he and his wife and their two little girls have just been very special to me and my family, and of course his mom too, and a blessing to our church, and got to know some of Shannon's family too, and got to know Gerald in a special way toward the end of Gerald's life. But I'm going to invite Curry to come up and to share with you now as God leads him today. So Curry, come on.
Good morning. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for asking me to come forward today and share with everyone what you mentioned was Dad's eulogy from his funeral, which I suppose you could say was his testimony somewhat from my perspective. And also, I'd like to thank you for this fancy contraption here. I guess I've got it working correctly. It makes me feel important. They don't give me these in court, so they must not think I'm that important. But most of all, thank all of you in the congregation for allowing me this time, and my family appreciates that. My dad, Tyree Gerald Howell, was born on his family farm on October 22nd, 1944, and was laid to rest there. He was blessed with over 72 years on this earth. Many of you knew him the majority of that time, or maybe some for only a small portion of his life. During those years, there were ups and downs, laughter and tears, peaks and valleys. I just want to take a few minutes to share some things with you about my dad. Some of these stories will be familiar to some of you, and some will likely surprise you. But I hope they shed more light on the man's life and journey. My dad was born in a Christian home to Christian parents. Some might say he was spoiled, a little or a lot, but those parents were the bedrock of what the man ultimately became. His father, Tyree, instilled a sense of love and caring in him. He also made sure my dad always had a fast car. Dad liked fast cars, but not me driving fast. His mother, Velma, instilled a sense of hard work in him. She also taught him to shoot straight and call them like he saw them. I remember my dad's fondness of his parents and what he said and what he did. He always talked about how his father wanted him to always have the best he could provide. He also always spoke of how his mother knew how to save and prepare for a rainy day. He, as I, could tell you how you could ride down Christian Light Road where I grew up and he grew up, at night and see his mother, or Chubby, as we like to call her for some reason, and she didn't mind, sitting and sewing behind her sewing machine at the window. Then in her 80s, with a small light shining on her like an old picture show. He would comment to me, "That is what life is about, working if you are able, saving your money." He carried on that tradition a few thousand more times in his life to Mom, me, and then to my wife, Shannon, by reminding us to save our money all the time. I think that's likely what Shannon thought Dad said when ending a visit or a phone call, rather than how most of us would just say goodbye. Then there was his older sister, Jewel, the final cornerstone of his childhood home. I never had the privilege of having a sibling, but I admired the love Jewel and Dad had for each other. No one knew how to handle Dad like Jewel, not even me in my prime. She began that tradition one day as they were playing doctor. Jewel was the doctor. Dad was the patient. The medical instrument was a needle, and there was an eardrum surgery involved. It did not conclude with a successful surgery. Luckily for Jewel, the statute of limitations had run, and he could not force me to file a malpractice claim against Jewel once I became an attorney. However, he only reminded Jewel of the incident a few hundred times. I suppose he did get Jewel back, though. The future tobacco farmer and tobacco warehouseman, who was apparently allergic to uncured tobacco, got to drive the tractor while Jewel was stuck looping tobacco. And I don't have to explain to y'all what looping tobacco is. I reckon most people here know. That story was told many times as well. He enjoyed it, driving the tractor and the story, I have no doubt. Despite these youthful brother-sister trials and tribulations, Dad and Jewel showed me personally what a brother and sister or any sibling should be to each other. I hope my girls have that type of relationship. Dad and Jewel were howls. They always stuck together. Through the years, my Aunt Jewel and Uncle Wayne opened their hearts and homes to my dad, mom, and me, as well as my wife Shannon and our girls, and for that we're truly grateful and truly blessed. I would jump ahead to what many would say was Dad's saving grace here on earth, but he would shoot me if I didn't give you a few comments about his athletic days at Lafayette that came earlier. No doubt, my father was an excellent athlete. Many people, without him stoking the fire, so to speak, which he absolutely loved to do, have told me the same. However, Dad was in no way ashamed to tell others, especially me, of his achievements on the court and the baseball diamond. Dad loved to tell me how he batted leadoff and would almost always swing at the first pitch and hit at a Ted Williams-esque percentage. He loved to tell me about what a good pitcher he was. I remember him teaching me how to pitch baseball as well. He sat in a chair in our yard with a cigar in his mouth. He got upset if he ever had to get out of that chair. I learned my control through some serious complaining, and he never let me work much on my curveball. For years in minor league and little league, he was there for every game I played and pitched, all but one, that is. Man, was it fun throwing sidearm and using my curveball, even for only that one day. On all the other days, I just got lost at times deciding if he was hollering at the umpire or at me or at both of us. As for hitting and his teaching me that, as many of you know, I became a golfer. Sorry, Dad. On to basketball, he loved to talk about his shooting, but for some reason, not his defense. He often reminded me how he scored 40-some points in a game with no three-point line like I had. Shane, you could appreciate that. My most fond basketball memory of him, not at the time, was a game our youth team lost 22-21. I scored all 21 points. He possibly never was as hard on me as he was that night. He wanted to push me to be my best and to be a winner, not just happy with a good stat sheet, so to speak. Looking back, I know that is what he tried to do in his life. I know that is why he wanted me to try to do in my life. Now on the part that I jumped over, at least to keep the timeline right, we will say, Phyllis Ann Spence, my mom. God first blessed my dad with a strong Christian family. He then blessed Dad with a wonderful, caring Christian wife and mother to his child. My parents loved me unconditionally. My parents loved each other for over 48 years of marriage and even before that marriage. Dad and Mom would both tell you, though, their marriage was not without its challenges. That said, all marriages are like that, I think. But love is what keeps husband and wife together with a lot of help from God. Many of you will relate to some of the challenges in their marriage. And the choir will relate to this. Dad was always early. Mom was always running in at the bell, so to speak. Dad was always messy in the house. Mom was a germaphobe. Dad liked to talk things up using what I call big chat at times. Mom did not. Mom and I loved our dogs. Dad did not like dogs until Homer, the greatest dog in the history of mankind. Per Dad, of course. Through it all, my mother was my dad's rock. Dad saw God's light and love and compassion in and through my mom. And it rubbed off on him as he grew as a man. My dad loved to make, or chase, as many of us would call it, a dollar. I think he loved that even more than giving everyone a hard time. Most of you know about his working career, or many of you may have discovered a few unknowns of his life and business endeavors if you read his obituary that was in the newspaper at the time of his funeral. I remember hearing a story once of when Duplan Texturing in Lillington was going to close and he was set to lose his job as a controller. He told someone he didn't know what he was going to do with a baby on the way. God and family stepped in. Fred Owen, my grandfather's sister, Aline Owen's husband, had a tobacco warehouse in Georgia. And he needed someone to keep the books and run the office there. He reached out to Dad, and Dad jumped on the opportunity. The next 20 years or so were history, as they say. He learned all the facets of the warehouse business from some of the best. He began farming, and in the process later joined Planter's Warehouse in Fuquay Varina as co-owner and manager, and he started burning, or maybe it was mainly chewing, cigars. Dad moved on to pine straw mulch business with some guidance from his high school friend, Jack Hester, in the late 80s and early 90s. He also met, about the same time, his most faithful business partner, his beloved friend, and what started out as bird hunting buddy, Duran Kern from Coates, who's kind enough to join us today. My high school principal, Don Wilson at Harnett Central High School, and Dan Honeycutt, who was the principal at Triton High School, hunted with Duran. Don and Dad became friends while Dad was actively involved as a member of the Harnett Central Booster Club. Come to find out, Dad was an avid bird hunter, too. He knew many farmers because he was in the tobacco warehouse business, and so obviously he knew about a lot of land that could be hunted. And then things were kind of set in motion with Dad and Duran. I should probably leave out the part here of an earlier story about Dad's only other prized dog, other than Homer, that being his $1,500 bird dog. As Dad liked to catch my baseball pitching in a chair, he liked to do some of his hunting from his truck with chairs mounted on the truck on the front and on top of the dog box in the bed. That didn't work out so well for his prized bird dog. One day, the prized bird dog pointed a covey of quail in front of the truck, and Dad didn't notice. It was a bad and final day for the prized bird dog. As for Dad and Duran, post-bird hunting, their successes were a testament to their trust and love for one another. It started with a deal in the early 90s on a 37-acre tract of land in Lillington behind the cemetery there at 421 and 401. It continued as they developed Ivy Creek subdivision over beside Hidden Valley Golf Course in Anger. And then it prospered through numerous other developments and land purchases and Traders Bluff Mobile Home Park. Their zest together for real estate development and maybe a car loan here and there continued until Dad's passing. Dad and Duran are a testament to an honest partnership on a handshake and the trust of two people in each other. They would both tell you they were lucky men. Then again, maybe it wasn't luck, but God's work. As for being a dad, my dad was truly a great dad to me. However, that's not to say that we didn't have our father-son moments, and many of them at that. Dad made things tough on me intentionally, but he supported me in my sports and education and dreams at the same time. He would give me the absolute worst and hottest job he could find on the farm. But then he would let me off work early to pursue my love of God. He would brag on me for having straight A's, which wasn't that often, but make me want to crawl under the table if I made a B or a C or maybe a D. I won't tell you what teacher gave me that D. When my golf team needed golf bags, he found a way to buy them. When I saw that red 1993 Camaro I wanted for high school graduation in the showroom at Paul Bailey Chevrolet in Andrew, and he initially shot the idea down like a sniper, it was in the driveway for me 4 days before graduation. He always did have a soft spot for fast cars, I guess. When I got into Campbell Law School, I didn't even understand how much money was involved to go. He told me not to worry about it and told me not to worry about a place to stay. After law school was over, I was blessed by God to find someone in Todd Adams, like Dad and Durain found each other, to go to work for. We later became partners on a handshake, just like Dad and Durain. Dad always supported me during the tough moments and high moments. However, he and Durain somehow thought they could open a better law office if they just had those law degrees and passed the old bar exam. When I married my wife, Shannon, and we were blessed with our two girls, Claire and Emily, or Double Trouble and Punjab, as Dad liked to call them. I don't know if y'all know who Punjab is, but he's in Annie. I could see the joy in his eyes and love in his heart when he was around them. No matter what, for almost all of his years while I was his son, I never doubted that Dad put me as number one. That is until his last few months. I've often sat in bed at night and watched my daughters and thought what in the world I can do to be a good father to them. That is, what do I do to be the kind of father I should be? I think trying to raise them in a Christian home is number one, although I personally know I don't do enough in that regard. My mother took the lead in trying to nurture my growth in church and as a Christian. Dad let her take that lead, as most of you know. What I did know, always, is no matter how tough things got, or how bad I messed up, or how much I was struggling, my dad was always had my back. That is a wonderful feeling to have, and I was blessed to be provided that feeling by my dad and by God. I just hope my girls always feel like that about me. I pray that God will help guide me in that regard. Well, I know some of you might want to hear Joe preach today. So how does this story of my dad, T. Gerald Howell, end at least here on earth from my personal experiences with him? Over the last year of his life, I saw my dad struggle tremendously with his health declining, as many of you have also seen with your parents and friends and loved ones, I'm sure. Although he kept pushing forward, working hard, and trying to continue to set an example, I saw the trials of this earth through his health breaking him down emotionally. Dad was always in control, it seemed, but no longer was that the case. I knew he needed help from God. I prayed for him. Excuse me. Our family prayed for him. I believe many of you today here probably prayed for him. I prayed God would work in Dad's life. I thought maybe there was some way Mom or me or a pastor might push him that way. In the end, I know it was God's grace and only God's grace that saved Dad. And no one here on earth. I heard many stories over the last few weeks of Dad's life, and just after his passing, of how Dad was a changed man. People saw it in him. People heard it in the things that he said. I knew he was always honest and hardworking man, good to people, helping people in many ways. I will probably never know all of his good deeds. I hear some here and there, but I guess not knowing about them is the way it should be. However, it's not these things that people told me, but it's what I saw with my own eyes that set my soul at peace. Dad always talked tough, loved a good back and forth, I'll call it picking on session, with friends, was loved by his friends, and was a great dad. But he never spoke much to me, and I don't suppose to many others, about God or Jesus, faith or salvation, or God's grace or being saved. I've heard many sermons, and I know you have as well, preached that being a good man in itself will not get a man through the gates of heaven. However, I then saw it with my own eyes. Tebow, that's what he called me. He never called me Curry. So, Tebow, do you know how good God has been to us? Do you realize how much we have been blessed? I've been so lucky for what God has given me, even though I didn't deserve it. I love God, and He loves us. You know that, don't you, Tebow? I love God. He is so good, and He will take care of us. I am good with the Lord. In the end, or maybe I should say the beginning, it wasn't God working through a man on Dad, but God working on Dad and also working through Dad on me. After all the fond memories I had of my dad at his weakest time, it will be these moments and times I spent with Dad near the end of his life that I will treasure the most. That is, when I knew I was no longer number one, but God was number one to my dad. To God be the glory for the work He did in my dad's life. I will miss Dad with all my heart, but I know where he is. He is sitting with Jesus. What a celebration that is.
I hope you were as touched by that as I was the first time I heard it, and then again today.